Well, turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Lord, as we look at our study here, and we see that you have great blessings for us before we take communion, as we saw in last night's service, that you would have us put off our old self, and you'd have us put on a new self, a whole new way of thinking and living, and you'd have us put away anything to do with our past and that old self. So as we look at Ephesians once more, may you open our eyes to see things for each of our individual lives. May you open our hearts to have the capacity and the ability to understand. As we learned in Jeremiah on Wednesday night, you said that you would give your people a heart that could know you. And Lord, if our heart doesn't have the ability to know you, we're pretty vain. And so we apply what we've learned this past week. And we see that it is your desire, as you told Jeremiah, to give your people that would return to you a heart that could know you. So give us that ability to know you and to know the great work you have done for us through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So in the fourth chapter, we'd like to pick up at verse 17, though we've already studied verse 17, just to give you once again a little background to get you moving forward. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the futility or the vanity of their mind. The word, key word, of course, you already have it circled in your Bible, is that word henceforth. It's a marker. It's from this point on, you are going to do this, no longer anything in the back. A marker. You go from the Canadian border up to down to Tijuana. There are markers all along the highway that tell you how many miles into the trip from the border you are. If you're a pilot, there are markers all the way across the country. Whatever flight path you take, you have markers that you have seen. Okay, I'm 80 miles into it. I'm 300 miles into the trip. And you have markers through your life. You do it with birthdays and birthday candles. Some of you are at an age in your life where you need a permit from the San Diego Fire Department to light up your candles. But nevertheless, those are markers for us. Birthdays, anniversaries are markers. All sorts of markers. Henceforth, the word henceforth is a marker. From this time on, once you grab what the letter is saying, it's not going to be how it used to be. You're going forward in a whole new style. So having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So we looked at those words, darkened, alienated, ignorance, and blindness. That's how we used to be before we opened our eyes and got understanding that Jesus was God's Son and that Jesus died on the cross. And then we were no longer alienated to God, nor were we ignorant about the things of God, and nor were we blind any longer. I appreciated Philip's prayer for us because he spoke of Saul with the scales dropping off of Saul's eyes, that the blindness goes away when we have the light of Jesus Christ. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, past feeling, I ask you to circle and underline and to make a list. Do you know any people that are past feeling? Do you know friends that are near to be at that line past feeling? Maybe they still have some feeling, but it should break your heart. Your heart should be crushed for the world around you. And this is very important for us as Christians. I believe that this is what has to happen to our country. And God can even use our own constitution. He can use our own president against us if he wants to crush us, to where we get to a place we're broken, knowing that friends and family and fellow countrymen are damned for eternity. It should break our heart that you have a brother, a cousin, a sister, an aunt, a dad, a mom, a grandma, a grandpa, a neighbor living next door, a friend in school who is almost to that place they have no more feelings. I shared an analogy that maybe some of you will think of in your own lives. When I first became a Christian, one of the first things I wanted to do was tell everybody that I partied with, and everybody wanted to get away from me as quickly as they could, to say the least. And Bob Foster and I hitchhiked up to Portland. And Bob could sell anything to anybody. He was a gifted rapper. And we went up to Portland. We street witnessed up one street, down the next. We went downtown to the heart of Portland. And then I said, I need to find some old friends, high school friends. And I found this one girl that I used to date. We were really good friends. We were friends. We were friends' friends. We talked about whatever we wanted to talk about. We liked each other. And I found out she was working in a bar, a gentleman's club, it was called. And I was a really heavy drinker from the time I was 15 years old. And I knew that she shouldn't be working in a bar, let alone drinking, because she had a problem in drinking. And when I went in to see her, I could tell that just in the few years that I had left and hadn't seen her, that she had aged a lot. And whatever she was into, this lifestyle had taken a very vivacious and beautiful young woman and hurt her. And I said, hey, it's me. And she said, where have you been the last 5 years? And I said, that's what I want to talk to you about. Can I see you? No, I'm living with a guy and I can't see you, and he's really mean, and you'd get in one of your famous fights. And I said, well, no, can I see you during your break? Okay, in about 20 minutes, I'll meet you for 15 minutes. So the first thing I said, you can't believe it. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And this is what you were looking for and I was looking for as teenagers. This is it. You need to give your heart to the Lord. And I explained it to her. And she said, I appreciate your enthusiasm. And she was just sort of flatlined. She was blah. She had no emotion to her. And she said, I'm beyond that. I can't be helped. And I said, no, you can be. And she says, thank you for coming. I appreciate it. I've got to get back to work. And she walked back into this gentleman's club. And that was it. And I've wondered, was she past feeling? Is there anybody in your life that you can say, they're past feeling. They don't have feelings. And life has pretty much stomped them down. Or is there people in your life that you can see, whoops, I never thought of this till you said it, Mike, but they're getting close to that place of past feeling and caring about eternity? Or frighteningly enough, could it be you that God's speaking about? That you're nearing the point of no return, past feeling. So I believe our country is not only in the places we've seen Jeremiah talking about the last several weeks on Wednesday nights. We're getting to that place where the judgment is coming that we saw this past Wednesday night. He warned them and warned them for 23 chapters. And then when it came, they still wouldn't believe it. And then they tried to kill the man that had the message for them. And they still wouldn't believe it. As I was eating breakfast, I was reading the third and fourth chapter of Lamentations, which is Jeremiah's follow-up book. He was known as the weeping prophet. And the reason is that he just wept so much. He cried because he couldn't believe how hard the hearts of his fellow countrymen were. And in the third chapter, it's pretty discouraging. He says that God has beat me up. God has taken away all my support. God has hurt me. He's allowed me to lose everything. And then the fourth chapter, he says, but it's okay because I still cling to hope that this will all turn around for good because God loves me. And he says, you know, it's a good thing for the youth to bear, for a person to bear the yoke in their youth. He was a teenager. He was a young man. And yet he had a national ministry. And he knew that, okay, if I'm a young man feeling this, it's good because I'll be mature. And though God is allowing all this crushingness and this pain to come to my life, it's for a reason. I will trust him and I will love him. And he goes on. I'd like you to make your list a little longer than you made last Sunday and put on that list anybody that you think is getting to the point of no return, past feeling. That if God were to say tomorrow, L.A. is going to be nuked, New York is going to be nuked, Kansas City is going to be nuked, Seattle is going to be nuked, Midwest, East, and West Coast have all been hit, and we have no idea what's coming next, would you be past feeling? Would your friend be past feeling? Because the way that it's going to happen is that if you, that call yourselves Christians, will let your heart be crushed for the glory of God, and then the love of God could actually work through you, that these that are on this list of past feelings would realize this is really serious. We're talking non-religion. We're talking eternity. So They became lascivious, unclean, greedy people, but you have not so learned Christ. This isn't how a Christian lives. If so be that you have heard him, you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that you, number one, and I ask you to circle this, put off, concerning the former conversation, your former lifestyle or manner of living, you put off, get rid of it, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. So we looked at putting off that old nature, your old self, getting rid of your old self. And the old man, as Paul called him, and you looked at and read together Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, you saw the old nature is corrupt, as he says. And this term corrupt, in their language, goes beyond corrupt to us. The word corrupt would say it's corrupt. It stops there. But in the original, it is a continual corruption. And what he is saying is that our old human nature is continually corrupt and heading to dissipation or corruption to a point where it won't exist anymore. That's where your old self and your nature will end you up, is dead for eternity. The corruption just goes on unless you can stop the putrefaction in the corruption. It's the only way. God is the only way through his son Jesus to stop the corruption in your old sinful way, in your old sinful self, in your old sinful nature. Now he says it's corrupt according to your deceitful lust, and be renewed. And I ask you to circle that because that's active. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on, and there's the other part, put off, put on the new man or the new self. There's a new you. And it can come alive through Jesus and for what he did for you, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then thirdly, wherefore, the wherefore takes us back to put off, put on, be renewed. Wherefore, he says, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And don't get angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, and don't give a place to the devil in your life. Stop it right now. So he says to lay aside the old self. How important. Now I'm going to give you an assignment. If you'd all stand reverently right now and turn to the third chapter, to Colossians. Colossians is your next book over, is Philippians and then Colossians. And there's 25 verses, and each person will read 5 verses. Introduce yourself. And notice that to this church, Paul is saying the exact same thing, except he's lengthening the list of what you shouldn't do and what you should be doing. In doing so, he says, you have put off the old man. To the Ephesians, he says, do put off the old man. So you're either at the do point today, that you're going to say, okay, my old life has no part. Or you're at the place, I have. You're going to, or you have. And the list broadens, and you realize, well, if I have, or if I'm going to, why am I still doing these things? And then when we finish, we'll see how he miraculously gives you a key and builds a bridge between the put off and put on that allows you to walk away from the old and walk to the new. And put on the new self and let your mind be a totally new mind. So go ahead and introduce yourself to 4 other people in your little group there. And then read 5 verses each, 3rd chapter, Colossians. So you see in Colossians a lot of similarity with the Ephesians, except his lists are longer. And he uses a very specific word in the 5th verse of Colossians 3, the word mortify. This is something you have to do. Not that the church or the pastor does. You have to do this. I have to do it too. Mortify. Put to death. Put a stake in the heart of this old nature of yours in the flesh. Mortify the deeds and your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he tells you why. These are the things, the sake the wrath of God comes on people, in the which you walked before you became a Christian. Then he says, put off All these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy, dirty jokes, coarse jesting. Don't lie to one another. Now, lie not was one of the first things he told the church of Ephesus. It's one of the first things we learn as a child. If the parent doesn't stop a child from lying, it follows them through their life. And remember, that was one of the Ten Commandments. So that being on the list of the Lord's Ten Commandments tells us that lying is a part of the human, sinful, corrupt nature. So it's something that has to be stopped and mortified in our flesh. And then he said in verse 10, put on the new man, which is renewed. There's the word renewed again. And there's a word that St. Paul used here in this renewing that is only found here in the New Testament. And a good rendering of this statement was being the 10th verse, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So now we know this, a bridge is built to take off the old nature, put on the new. You are going to walk from the old to the new, and your image, your role model is going to be God himself who made you, who created you. Can you see how insidious the devil is if you think that you evolved from monkeys? There's no hope for you. You can't be renewed. Now, you're going to be renewed in the image of the grand poopaw monkey of yore? No. But you take the Bible out of the schools, you propagate a false doctrine, evolution instead of creation, and then people have no hope. Just this one subtlety of being renewed in the image of the one that created you has been removed from the education system of the United States of America. Do you get it? So now, how does a child know they're from the moment they've been told they've come from the animals, how do they have one iota of hope that life could ever get better? They don't. Because we all live with ourselves and we know that we're not perfect. But if I have the hope, like Jeremiah said this morning to me in the 4th chapter of Lamentation, I'll put up with all the pain, the suffering, and setbacks because the hope is here that I know that God's doing something I can't see. You take that hope away from the human race, and you can control them and get them to do anything to be your slaves. You dumb them down. But why should you be dumbed down when you were created in the image of your Creator? And you are to be subservient to a government? You're to be subservient to another man? Yes, you're submitted and you're humble and you obey, yes. But for them to dictate to you, that isn't what our founding fathers had. They knew exactly what we needed as a people. It was our inalienable rights that were all created, not evolved equally. They knew we were created. And yet, present people in power want to keep you dumbed down. You are to be renewed. That's hope. After the image of government? No. Education? No. Intellect? No. Monkeys? No. In the image of God who created you. Your image was marred through sin. And then Jesus died on a cross. And he says, you can be like you should be. In the inner man, the new man. So there's the key. Go back to Ephesians, if you would, to the 4th chapter there as we wrap this up and we get ready for communion. Here's the key. That you would be renewed in your mind, the spirit of your mind, so that you put on the new self, the new person, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So after God, in Colossians, he said you're renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you. So your help is not some self-help or some hypnosis or some guru or some steps. Now, all of that may be something that gets you ultimately where you're going, but your help is in God. Your renewing is in God. You're in God. It's in God in whom we move, the apostle said in the book of Acts. It's in God in whom we move and have our whole being. It's in God. It's not a religion. God himself is here this morning with us. And he would fill you all, overflowing, if you just give him the room to step in. So now we have hope that we can be brought back and renewed with the old nature gone, the new nature being put on. The new wardrobe, the new clothing begins with more than just a knowledge about Jesus, because we could transfer head knowledge and I could say, well, here's what I've learned in all the books I read. But John tells us in the very last sentences of the Gospel of John, I suppose, that if all the things that Jesus said and did while he is here on earth, those 33 years, or specifically the 3 years that he ministered, the whole world could not contain the books that it would take. It would fill planet Earth up. If just in that 3-year period of ministry, the people that got touched and saw him and lives changed and renewed were to be written and published, the planet couldn't hold all the good things that would be said. So only found here in the New Testament, this word "be renewed" is important. As Christians, we put off that old manner of living, not to revisit it and not to re-engage it. So you take off one, you put on the other. Now think of this. I would look kind of silly right now if I were dressed, prepared, in a sense, for the memorial service tonight, and I had my tie, my necktie, and my shirt on, and my suit and slacks, but yet over it I put a Tommy Bahama Hawaiian shirt and a different pair of slacks and a different pair of shoes over those other shoes. Now I've got 2 layers on. Now that would be kind of silly, wouldn't it? How many people claim to be Christians and they have on Sunday their new self on, and as soon as they get to the car, they take it off and they've already got the old self dressed up? How in the world can there be 2 of you? You're schizophrenic at the best. You can't say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm sleeping with my girlfriend who I'm in church with this morning. I'm sorry. That isn't Christ. That's not right. Well, I'm a Christian, but I get drunk. Well, no. You aren't a Christian and you get drunk. That's the old sinful nature that was crucified on the cross with Christ. You're that old person there. You must reckon that old nature to be dead. You must mortify the members of your body and flee fornication, Paul told young men and women to young Timothy. Flee this, but follow after righteousness. Run away from certain things, but follow very carefully other things, he said. So there's no way that you can have this one nature and then cover it up with the other nature and then switch back and forth with which nature you're going to be in front of which crowd you're in front of. You have to be the same. You're either not a Christian or you are a Christian. So, look at, he told the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the 9th verse, if you want to turn there for just a moment. He told them some more keys to help them understand how they can live this new life. Because we can't do it in our own power. We absolutely need the power of the Holy Ghost to do it through us. But we need to know our Bibles. We need to know the scriptures because it's what frees us to be the people God would have us to be. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the 9th verse, he says this. For it is written, it's a fact, it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, his understanding, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So your eyes have never seen anything as beautiful, from a sunset to a pain, there's nothing that has ever been as beautiful. The ear has never heard music or sounds compared to what the music and sounds of heaven are. Never into the heart of the understanding of a human being, no matter how intelligent or how autistic as the young man we saw playing basketball. Can you imagine 4 minutes ago, his senior year, he's never been on the court, he has a jersey on, he's satisfied with that. And he shoots 20 points in 4 minutes. And he missed 3 baskets. Rats. What if he had played all 4 years for that school? It would have been an amazing thing. But I think it gives us hope that we could be at the end of our lives and God in the last 4 minutes could blow the whistle and say, you're in. And you get in the game and you just play your heart out for his honor and his glory. There's nothing on this earth, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Not unto the world, not unto the carnal or the old man or our old sinful nature, but unto the new man. He has revealed these unto us by his Spirit. Not by education, but by his Spirit who's in the room right now with you and me. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Jesus said, it is expedient that I leave earth so that the Holy Ghost can come and that he can lead you and guide you into all truth. And he shall speak to you of the things that I and the Father discuss in heaven. You must rely on the Holy Spirit. You must trust him. When you hear that voice, this is the way, go ye in it, that's the Holy Spirit. When you feel your heart and your blood pressure going up and saying, go after this, that's the lust of your old nature. But the Spirit is here, and he's powerful, and he wants to help you. For verse 11, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. This isn't from Harvard. This isn't from Yale. This isn't from Cal State Fullerton. These are the things from God in heaven. And God would speak to you through the things he has designed, not through the things that man has designed. So why do we put so much effort into the things that man has designed as if man has the answers for us? It's already proven that the world and its system is a failure, or there wouldn't be famine or a war. There wouldn't be water shortages. I can't get it. So I go to God, and God says, here's what you need. I'm the one that made you, and I know that you are so special that there is no one that understands you as well as I do. And this is what Jesus and I have spoken about concerning you, and I'm sending my Holy Spirit to help you through your life today. He loves you. So in this next verse, he says, which things we speak not in the words of which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So we compared Ephesians with Colossians. We've compared Colossians with Corinthians. We compared Corinthians with Ephesians. We've compared all of these spiritual things with other off the head and off the heart verses that have been quoted. We've looked at reason and logic. We've looked at life. We've looked at spirit. And we're comparing. The old man does not have the ability to compare. He's a robot. He's been trained by an insidious enemy that wants to take you into the pit of hell for eternity. God says, I love you and I care for you and I want to release you from self so you can put on the new. So, we go to Galatians 5 before we take communion. Look at the 19th verse, and I will read them to you. Galatians is the book just before the book of Ephesians that we've been studying. Now listen carefully. Two trees are going to be stood up before you on the platform. On the left side is tree that number one that starts with verse 19. And on your right side is tree number two that starts with verse 22. You're going to watch the tree bud on the old nature, the old man, the sinful fruit, and then you're going to look at the heavenly fruit. Now look. Now the works, plural, works, of the flesh, your old man, are made manifest. Anybody can see him. Which are these, plural? Adultery, married person having sex with somebody else and their spouse. Fornication, anybody having sex with anybody outside of marriage. Uncleanness, you can figure out anything that you would think would be unclean. Lasciviousness, that's wickedness, that's darkness, that's evilness. Idolatry, worshiping your car, worshiping an idol, worshiping yourself, worshiping sex, worshiping, you name it, your business, worshiping you. Anything that is worshiping something other than God. Witchcraft, that's from the flesh. That's from the flesh. Hatred, if you hate somebody, that's your flesh, your old nature. There's no way that the new nature hates. So if on your list you realize you hate so-and-so, you need to beg God's forgiveness as you take communion, because that's your old nature, wants to rule. And your new nature is begging to get in control, but you don't know how. And so at the communion table, it was designed that you could say, Lord, My old nature hates A, B, C, D, and I know I'm not supposed to. Please forgive me. It's not to bite into a cracker and take a quick shot of juice and say, oh, I took communion this morning. Paul said it's a serious thing. You do eat and drink damnation unto your own soul. If Christ isn't your Lord and you take communion, you've just bitten into the wafer and you've bitten into the juice and taken it, and you have said, oh, I believe. Well, if you believe, then why are you still living a life for which Jesus died for? And the elements of communion, are you saying, I believe Jesus has given me the power that I don't need to live like the old man anymore. I can live like the new. So here we see idolatry, hatred, variance, strife, seditions, heresies, envy to envy. Oh, I wish I had that car. Oh, I wish I had that dress. Oh, I wish I had that. Oh, I wish I could be envy. It's the old nature that supposedly died. Revelings, rioting, fighting, such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We must be broken. And our old sin factory needs to be leveled. And heaven has a permit in your name that will allow you to level it. The devil will give you subsidy and welfare to keep your old sin factory running so that he can control you. He will make life easy for you if that's what it's going to take. He's going to give you all the sex that you want if that's what it's going to take. He's going to give you enough bitterness to make you bitter at every person on the planet if that's what it's going to take to keep your factory producing this out of your life so you keep hurting other people and we have a dysfunctional world. On the other hand, one drop of the Savior's blood is so powerful that it erases all of that sin factory and the ability, if you by your own free will say, I want to die to myself and I want to be more like you. Well, then be renewed in your mind in the image of the one that created you. The ability is here today that you could walk out of here being a completely different person and knowing God, your creator. Envy, murder, drunkenness, fighting, they don't inherit the kingdom. But the fruit, singular, not plural, like flesh, of the Spirit is love. And the word is not these, plural, is singular love. And in the English, how do we know this is heavenly love? Because it's full of joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control. And against us, there's no law. And those that are Jesus's, those that are Christ's, have crucified the flesh, this tree over here, with the affections and the lust thereof. You've taken a mental conscious step and saying, I'm going with the heavenly acts of the scripture and I'm going to the root of this tree and it's dead. And I am living a new life by the power of the Holy Spirit according to God's word. And he's going to produce the fruit through me and I don't want to ever see that again. Be renewed. That's what he says to do. Now, you all know Romans chapter 12, and you know verses 1, and you know verses 2. But that's what Paul was talking about. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I'm begging you, by the mercies of God, I'm begging you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that you would take this cup, and you take this bread, you say, oh, Father, I present myself today, maybe for my first time or my 1,000th time, a living sacrifice. While I'm alive in San Diego, I will do all I can to be the loving woman, the loving man that you would have me be that represents you. I would pray that you would take this root of bitterness, this anger, this hatred. I would pray you'd take my lust. I'd pray you'd take the lying, the stealing, the cheating. I pray you'd take this nature and put it under control once again. And what did he say in verse 2 of Romans 12:1? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed by the renewing of your mind. Huh. You have the freedom to do it. You have the freedom not to do it. But the more you stop doing this, the closer you are to that line of past feelings. And there will be a day that a preacher like me is never seen before your two eyes. There will be a day when you turn on the radio and you'll never hear a Bible study. There will be a day when you are going through the channels, you'll never hear a worship song. There will be a day that all the people around you are also past feelings, and there'll be no scripture ever quoted to you again. There'll never be a Bible handed to you, or somebody say, have you seen this little tract? Or somebody say, have you heard of Jesus? You'll never have the ability to see or to hear or to understand the things that God has prepared for those that love him. He will turn you over to a reprobate heart. Because God is a gentleman, he will never twist your arm. He'll never force you. You see, this struggle that you and I go through called human life is preparation for heaven, yes. But in 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, Paul says there's two bodies. There's the terrestrial body. Terrestrial means elements of the earth. There is the celestial body. You, the moment you die, will leave the terrestrial body. You're inside here. And you will go to heaven. And God has prepared, the scriptures say. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, John 14. You believe in God, will believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. There is a house, there is a covering, there is a wardrobe, there is a new body, celestial. The word means made of the elements of the heavens. So that you would be clothed upon and not be naked. When you leave this terrestrial body, God doesn't want you just floating around. He wants you covered with his image that Adam and Eve had before they sinned. You see, Adam and Eve had God's image. God breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul. And that image was a spiritual person. When they sinned, it died. And this is what's left. We're sons of Adam. We're members of the Adams family. That's kind of gruesome when you think of it. This is what the Adams family looks like. But Jesus died and rose from the dead to show you the new body. And that new body is what's waiting for you. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. But you'll be gone. And God has a new one for you to put on, that will live forever in the heavenlies with him. This is your choice. Put off the old, put on the new, renew your mind in the image of God through the scripture, and put away the past. You're a new creature in Christ, and behold, all things are made new. All things. You see, you didn't become a Christian, and now God's renewing you and creating you a new creature. No, the moment you gave your heart to Jesus, his work was finished. Now you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We desperately need each other for accountability. We desperately need to be people of the Bible for understanding and knowledge. We desperately need prayer to keep the communication going. We desperately need the body of Christ for that accountability factor, that we can lift up each other's arms and help each other make it. Because we are these jars of clay. We are made out of the earth, as we saw two Wednesday nights ago when Jeremiah went to the potter's house. And God is the potter shaping you. And we are human. But as long as we can go by faith, God will honor that faith. And he'll take you, the new creature, into heaven. Father, as we take communion, and as it is reverently passed to us, we bow our souls right before your throne in our hearts, and we ask you to have mercy on us. We don't deserve one ounce of mercy, but you have told us through the book of Ephesians that God, who is rich in mercy, we come to the wealth of your mercy and beg it. We pray that you would help us put death and mortification to the members of our body that try to control our spirit. We pray that you would help us reckon our old sinful nature, that old man, that corrupt self, to be dead in Christ and buried with Christ. We pray that you would help us walk across the bridge, take the key and open the door to put on the new self, the new man, the new person in your image. and that you would help us put away the deeds and actions and relationships that keep pulling us down, that we could be godly people, humble people, meek people, loving people, gentle people, kind people, forgiving people, people from your race, Lord. And we give you the right and privilege to help us in this battle for the old to die and the new to come alive. In Jesus' name, amen.